Hi, how are you? I mean, I know that, you know, big radio personalities, we've got giant egos here, and this is, in the end, it's all about me and always should be, but today is just a how are we doing kind of Monday. Awful branding. Should have come up with something better than that. But I, like you, spent my Sunday watching whatever we're going to call that performance on Sunday. And the reality is, today is the day where there's going to be a lot of hardcore sportsing, right? We're going to get down with the nits and grits. They're here. The eye test, I believe we're going to get to a lot of that today. And we're going to get to the heart at how the Browns, who were 6.5-point favorites at home, had maybe one of the top five starts to a Browns game ever. Right? Giants fumble on special teams, turnover, ball in premium position, one play touchdown, Amari Cooper up top, Deshaun maybe the best throw of, it felt like his best throw of Deshaun's Browns career, and by the way, the third play from scrimmage, technically the fourth because they had to return the ball, but the fourth play, fifth play of the game was a Ronnie Hickman interception. That did inevitably get kind of washed away there by a penalty. We'll get into that as well. But my point is, if we script it out, right? Teams love Kevin Stefanski, the king of scripts, right? If you could script up a game, if you had football God's power, all right? That's exactly how you would draw it up. And to see then the Browns lay, to have the ultimate momentum at home, 6.5-point dogs, right? All the good fortune earlier. To see that good fortune reversed in a series of two quarters was wild. And I will be honest, guys, this is like the Lord of the Rings trilogy. All right? This is not, I don't know we can get this all done in 1 5-hour swoop. All right? This might be something that we spend, like we, the sports nerds, the Browns fans, spend the next several days really coming to terms with whatever the hell that was. But I am torn between justifiable outrage, and I heard it all day on the station. I mean, the Browns took an absolute you-know-what kick in a day, and I'll be honest with you, they probably could use a little bit more. So I'm torn between justifiable outrage and reminding everybody it's incredibly early. And I hate to be that guy, because that feels like a I-know-more-than-you kind of comment, and I'll be honest with you guys, I'm a moron. All right, and if my personal decisions, if my my profession has shown you anything, it's that I promise I know I'm no smarter than you. So let's start with the first thing. If we talk about justifiable outrage, I think today, if you're highlighting the Browns defenders dancing, I think that's low-hanging fruit. If you liked it, a year ago when they were good, and now you don't like it, so it's results-based, which means it really has nothing to do with the culture in Cleveland. Now, I thought it was interesting that a lot of the criticism about their dancing, and it did seem choreographed. It felt like they got the remains of Bob Fosse from the afterlife, brought him back for 5 minutes to put together a whole song and dance number. If you didn't like that last year and you like it now, it sure seems like we're just kind of pointing something easy out there, all right? But it's not simply about Deshaun Watson, right? I don't think Deshaun played great yesterday. I don't think he played awfully yesterday. Like, if we get into the top three, if we're doing a blame org chart, Deshaun's middle management, right? I got a bunch of CEOs up here. I got a bunch of executives. High offensive line. You're looking quite wealthy today. But no, like, it's not about Deshaun Watson. And here's the other thing. It's not really even about firing people. I think this is the thing that we as fans resort to when our team gets embarrassed. And like, here's the thing, guys. I don't care. And I've told you this a million times. I don't care just that you lose. I grew up with losing. I've grown older with losing. I will grow old with losing. God willing, I will be a 90-year-old man on this planet talking about how the hell did that happen for the Browns again. So it's not about the losing. Because, honestly, guys, losing is not the worst thing to happen to your team. It doesn't challenge my fandom. I stood by them in 0-16. I'll stand by them if they go 17-0. But to me, how you lose matters. And so on one hand, when we start talking about that justifiable outrage, we start really getting into this. There are big problems with the Cleveland Browns. That is no longer, that's no longer on the table for negotiation. I said on Friday that I thought the Giants game was an affirm or negate game, meaning that it's either going to affirm that Jacksonville was a true statement on where you were going, or it was going to negate it. It was going to affirm that the Cowboys game is more of what we should expect this season. I went very like Salem witch trial. On this day, you shall be judged. But either it's going to affirm what happened with Dallas is more of what's to be expected, or it's going to negate it. And unfortunately, it affirmed the thing none of us wanted to. So while there are big problems, and we're going to spend today getting to them, all right? That doesn't mean that the biggest and easiest fixes are the things that actually make sense. I get it. Kevin Stefanski, and boy, do I got some things to say about Kevin in this hour. That doesn't mean Kevin Stefanski should be fired. That's where it's incredibly early in the season. It doesn't mean that Jim Schwartz has lost his mojo. It's week three. It doesn't mean Andrew Berry, wide receivers, Andrew. Please, better, you, now. It doesn't mean Andrew Berry should get fired, or Haslam should move the team, or Deshaun should be benched, and all those things at some point might become realistic conversations this year. And I'll be honest with you, a big reason why that shouldn't be on the table is it would be too easy of an out for any of the principal people who failed you, the Browns fans, yesterday. I don't want Kevin Stefanski fired. This is a trial by fire. Figure it out or hit the bricks eventually. But figure it out. You're the guy who won't say a damn thing in the press conference. You're the guy who, I mean, we consider every possibility. Okay? You're the guy that is here to win games. And no. Run that back. You are here to win games, but you are here to compete. I didn't see a whole lot of competing going on yesterday. For the second time in 2 weeks, I didn't see a whole lot of competing out of the Cleveland Browns in front of their home fans. And there's a few national folks, or there are a few folks on social media who thinks that that's somehow a commentary on Browns fans, that Browns fans rightfully booed a team which couldn't be bothered to show up despite being spotted a 7-point lead, despite being spotted and gifted the start of the damn game. So that's some of that justifiable outrage here. There are big things going on with the Cleveland Browns. And the problem is that while firing somebody or benching someone or trading someone or trading for someone or any of the different big ideas, the fire-branded ideas we could come in with, right? None of those actually fix it. Because so many of the big issues with the Cleveland Browns are interlocked with each other. And so this isn't a Diet Coke fix. This isn't a simple fix. This isn't if you do one thing next week, all is well for the rest of the season. I have a feeling that this, whatever this monster is right now, whatever the elephant is in the room for the Cleveland Browns, they're going to have to wrestle that for a good part of the start of the season, maybe the whole damn season. And we can speculate, we can throw stuff out. Oh, do they not like Deshaun? Do they like Deshaun too much? Is Kevin not enough of a football guy? Is Kevin too smart, right? Does Andrew Berry really know how to draft wide receivers? He just seemingly chooses to not do it well. Willful ignorance, we'll call it. Is the franchise cursed? There are so many different things we can speculate and so many different things that we can get to. I am caught somewhere in between justifiable outrage, and it is incredibly early, and there is more than enough time. Hey, you got to be good by the Eagles game? That is a fake deadline. Guys, they play until January, all right? And that's every team in the NFL. And then if you do that well enough, then you get to go play for something more. So the real deadline is whenever you're going to get allegedly eliminated from the playoffs. But there's a lot of low-hanging fruit today. Here's one that isn't. That was unacceptable. And I do not like my non-negotiables for my team, right? For the team that I love. The things, you know, do they have to be nice guys? Not necessarily. I've rooted for turds. I've rooted for nice guys who couldn't find their way out of a paper bag. So that's not necessarily, it's easier. It's easier to root for your team if they're good. But it's not a non-negotiable, right? Well, do they have to be super talented? That helps. When the talent is obvious and it's clear. Yeah. That's really great. Do they have to be relatable? Again, not a non-negotiable. Here's my one non-negotiable. Try. And don't be front runners, I guess, would be my second one. If you're gonna go out there and pound your chest when things are good, maybe keep that energy when things are bad. Because I will tell you, what yesterday, in the first two of the three games of this season, point two, is a lack of leadership. And I'm not talking about guys saying things that sound leadery. I'm not saying guys who've read certain Tony Robbins books. I'm saying the kind of leadership that when the chips are down, that people respond to. And there's a myriad of different ways that looks. But I saw a rudderless team that was a 6.5-point favorite, that was at home, that was coming off a win, that had so many things going for it. And they simply decided to not compete. I don't think it was like a collective, hey, should we go out there and poop the bed at home? Hey, it's a big day for this franchise, another opportunity to make the local fans happy. I don't think it was intentional, meaning like they all conversed about it. But the Cleveland Browns, and hear me in every sense of the word, they don't have enough dogs. Dudes in football specifically, I got that dog in me. And then you watch the game and you're like, it's a schnauzer at best. I think this is the Taco Bell, what the hell is little dog's called? I almost called
Chihuahua.
I almost called it a chalupa. That would have been a great start to the show, is calling a chihuahua a chalupa. One's delicious. I would not eat the other one. That's in bad taste. Literally. But no, that's what upsets me from yesterday, right? Every day I get up and I grind. I don't have a choice. I got bills to pay. I got a family to support. And honestly, and this is if I don't show my family how to overcome the things that I have to overcome on a daily basis, no one will. That's the ownership that every person in every town has to take. And when it doesn't feel like there's enough ownership, and there are good dudes on the Cleveland Browns, they haven't turned into turds overnight. All right? They haven't all of a sudden become some evil conglomerate of billionaires who don't give a rip about Browns football or you. And I guarantee you, there are men in that locker room that are trying to play hard. But none of them are playing hard together. None of them are doing the things, doing that, grinding their way to that day-to-day victory that you and I have to do. We don't have a choice. We can't say, you know what? 5 hours is a lot, so I think I'm going to give the people listening 2 hours. And hopefully that'll be enough to get through today and do everything else that I want to do. You can't say, you know what, I think I'm going to go, work 3 hours of an 8-hour job. Because if you do that enough, your ass is out on the street. And this is where messaging matters. Because I'm actually going to play this to start the show. And sorry, Mac, I'm calling a little huddle here. It's as Stefanski on the offensive line struggles. You can do, when you win, you can do whatever the hell you want. All right, you can. You want to celebrate, you want to do a chorus line, kick line with, you know, showgirls from Atlantic City, do whatever the hell you want. But when you lose, that's when accountability matters. And I'm going to give you, this was a question and answer today. And I'm not trying to harp on this because if we go too far with this, this itself becomes low-hanging fruit. But this is a perfectly direct and honest question by Daryl Ryder, our own Browns beat reporter. And here's the answer that you got from Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, Kevin, I want to ask you about the offensive line. If I've done the math right, I think it's 16 sacks and 42 QB hits through three games. Just from your perspective, setting aside the injury situation, what is going on up front with the protection issues?
Yeah, obviously that's disappointing. We have to be better there, and we will be better.
With Wyatt, is he possible IR candidate?
Yes, we're working through that. That's a possibility. With Miles, he's like a lot of our guys on this team. He's going to battle through these injuries, and I expect him to continue to get better.
So you got the injury report there in the back end, but just that first thing. All right, this was objectively one of the five worst offensive line performances I've ever seen. And I went back and tried to count how many times that Deshaun Watson in the first half actually got to get to his drop back spot and actually see the field, right? And it is inside, I can count them on one hand. I think I got to four times in the first half. It was honestly the most disappointing thing because I love trench football and I have been so proud of the Cleveland Browns, especially on the O-line, with guys like Wyatt, with guys like Joel, with guys like Posick and Jace Teller and Thomas and Mitchell Schwartz and so many dudes that I've watched play. Jack Conklin that I've watched. DeJuan Jones last year, but not this year. So that is a moment where you can just be honest. We'll get it figured out. Really? What do you have to show me that you'll get it figured out? That was a direct question of, hey, what do you think's going on with the O-line? And your answer was, we got to figure it out. Really? Because that, to me, is the epitome of Kevin Stefanski and his leadership style. So, the sky's falling. This is not good. Well, we'll get it figured out. I don't think you have a choice. And if that's the message internally, I don't know what you're really accomplishing here. If you want to show leadership, show it. Don't say you're going to show leadership. Don't say accountability. Saying accountability means nary a damn thing. So that's one thing that I picked out of his press conference today of non-answers and embarrassments. When you lose by 3 points at a walk-off field goal, say nothing, right? When you lose and it's just one of those heartbreaking games, but you can say with everything in your heart, you tried, say nothing. But when you know, and I know, and everybody watching watched your team get punked for the second time at home in the first 3 weeks of the season, I demand more. You want to start with where things go, let's start with a head coach. 216-474-0092. That is justifiable outrage. It's also early.